Here.
Talk shoe.
Recorded live.
So now the other people
okay.
can hear too, right?
There you go. I'm going to put the little header on here. Or Angela, why don't you go ahead while you're on here?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm sorry about all the confusion and the late start. Actually, it hasn't been a late start. We started on time, but my cable's out. So I called Dave, and Dave, God bless him, he started my call for me, but he couldn't get the recording started, and Clint Richardson's been on talking for the last 26 minutes, I guess, and half of you couldn't hear him, unfortunately. But someone is recording, thank God, so we will have the beginning somewhere. I'll post it on the website. But now that we've started the recording and everything's cool and everybody can hear, I know you're not going to want to start all over again, Clint, but if you can tell us a little bit about yourself or, tell people where they can find out about you. I know your website is, you can tell them. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I have two websites, actually. The Corporation Nation, so thecorporationnation.com is where I keep the Corporation movie. It's also on YouTube, The Corporation Nation. And, again, it's free. I'm not asking, this was a kind of a labor of, I guess you could call it a labor of love. I'm not expecting anything out of it, although it has been interesting. I've gotten a lot of people calling and wanting me to do more and offering me money to do more, which I wasn't expecting. But so it's been a good response. And all I ask is that people spread it because, we're in a pretty dire situation, and we're getting to the point where I'm talking about all this ownership, and everybody needs to really essentially just forget about value, because value is ownership. So if you've the best way to describe it is if you've got $1 million worth of gold and the government has $1 trillion worth of gold, well, guess what? They can take 4 zeros off of that. And all of a sudden, you only have, what, $1,000, is that? $100 worth of gold? But they still have billions. So what you got to concentrate is not the value, the actual monetary value on things. That's not what's important when it comes to government. What's important is what we were talking about earlier, which is the actual ownership of ownership stock in these companies. And that is basically what is shown a little bit on the comprehensive annual financial reports, and then through the comprehensive annual financial reports, you can contact each individual corporation or municipality, whatever you want to call it. I don't call them governments anymore, to be honest. Because my government here in Utah is the Salt Lake City Corporation, and that's probably the funniest part about this is because I got mad, I got angry. Because I got a letter, and it's in the video, actually, but I got a letter from Salt Lake City Corporation. And, when you get a speeding ticket or a parking ticket or whatever, I don't remember getting a parking ticket, but they sent me this letter from the Salt Lake City Corporation. And I looked at that letter, and I looked at the title, and it said Salt Lake City Corporation. And I'm like, what does that mean? I've heard government as a corporation, but I've never really thought about actually, looking at it like that. And lo and behold, I look it up, and it's listed as a private corporation, and it's listed as a branch of another private corporation, and we're not talking public corporation. In other words, it's not something that you and I are invested. This is a private corporation called a municipality or a municipal corporation, and it is located in Utah or Salt Lake City. Now, I can go down to where I live now, which is a town called Draper, which is just right outside of Salt Lake City. And I have my water is connected with the Draper City Corporation. So we're not talking about little sporadic things. We're talking every government in the country. Again, school districts, everything else, is a corporation. So one of the things that I was really out to dispel any myths about was the fact that the country is a corporation or a series of corporations. And I can't stress this enough because You know, everybody reverts to the couple, you know, the first or second edition of Black's Law Dictionary to say, well, look, it was listed, the United States is listed as a corporation. You don't have to look at that. All you have to do is go to your computer and type in your city, your town, your school district, whatever, followed by the full statement, comprehensive annual financial report, and then the year, and I'm, you know, using 2009 because the 2010 ones have not been printed yet. Usually the fiscal year for corporations ends June 30th. So right now there's a couple of 2010 reports out, but for the most part we're looking at 2009. The thing is, the stock market's gone up by 3,000 points, probably 2,500 between the last quarter and this quarter that ended, fiscal year that ended. So, I mean, these funds are going to be huge again. And so, again, the value is not what's important. It's the amount of stock that these things have. And when you collectively add up the totals, in other words, you know, it's a difficult task, and it would probably take one person many years to actually go through and add up all these totals. But if you go through and you look at just the top 10 holdings of these things, you're going to find that government, and this is the most important concept here, government as a collective whole. In other words, all states and all governments within those states, which are individual of each other, but they're still part of the collective, kind of like a beehive. Everybody's like, or a box of Cheerios, you know, they're each individual Cheerios, but when you look at each Cheerio, they're pretty much the same thing. They're a government. And they're all in one big box as a collective box of Cheerios. So that's just one big government is what I'm trying to say. So when you take all of these individual governments or individual Cheerios and you add them up, you see that the Cheerios take up that whole box. The government owns everything. And I'm not exaggerating in the least. I'm saying that the government owns not only national land corporations, you know, Fortune 500, but we're talking international. We're saying that the government has been building condos and other real estate projects and buying up land in other countries and other continents for years now. When you hear that we owe China money, that's not the case. I mean, basically, this country is so wealthy beyond measure that you can't even comprehend it. We're talking just in pension funds alone across this country, you have $26 trillion just in pension funds. Okay? So tell me if I keep going back and forth between topics too much, but really important for people who work for government in any type of government job, also in the private sector, we need to understand what a pension fund is, and perhaps most importantly, what your vested interest is in that pension fund. Now, when we're talking about a government pension fund, we're talking 99.9% of all pension funds are what is called a contributory pension fund. Okay, there's two types of pension funds, and sometimes they can be both. There's contributory, and there's what's called profit sharing. Now, in a profit sharing fund, they're giving you the actual. It's almost like owning a. The more you invest, the more you actually own collectively with the group of that stock. But in a contributory pension fund, you don't have any equity in that fund. In other words, when you are giving your money to that fund every month, and then the government is charging taxpayers to match that fund every month, so in other words, when a government office matches a pension fund, so if they take 8% out of your paycheck, the government office that you work for is also taking 8% out of that out of the taxpayer budget, because what funds government offices but taxpayer money? So for every employee that gets hired for, you know, by a state government, county government, any type of government office, you're looking at millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars it's going to cost the taxpayer to have that employee employed by the government, because the whole idea of hiring someone for government is to build these funds. So every person that they hire, they're not only stealing 8% out of your check and saying it's for you, they're also stealing 8% or matching that and taking it from taxpayers. Now, the important thing about a contributory pension fund, which is all government funds, essentially, it's in the word, okay? Anybody know the definition of contribution? It's what you give to charity. You contribute. You give. You let go. You are departing with your money. In other words, when you give money to a contributory pension fund, again, which is all government funds, you have no vested interest in that money whatsoever. Yeah. So we're talking, I saw an article today about Obama pressing the issue again about raping the pension funds, stealing from the pension funds to pay other debts. What I'm saying is that all the $118 billion that are in the CalSTRS pension fund that's supposed to fund the pension fund for teachers, that has nothing to do with the teachers. All of that is profit, because the CalSTRS pension fund collects about $4.3 billion from its employees and pays only about $3.7 billion out to its retired teachers. So CalSTRS pension fund actually walked away in 2009, according to its comprehensive annual financial report, walked away with over a $12 billion profit. Okay, this is while the stock market was looking so horrible and going down. No, they made $12 billion in profit.
You mean to tell me they're for-profit corporations?
There's no other type of corporation. If you're looking at something like, you say, the United Way, you know, it's a Red Cross, any of these, there is no such thing as a non-profit, because there's always someone making a profit. They can cook the books and make it look like it, you know, it looks like a non-profit. Well, okay, well then where is all that money going? Where did all the money go that everybody donated to all the 9/11 non-profit funds? It didn't go to the 9/11 first responders. It didn't go to the 9/11 victims' families. It just went away, okay? Every corporation. Well, okay, I'll just put it to you this way. If you look up what a corporation is, what the definition, what the purpose of a corporation is, it is simply to make a profit for its shareholders. Any corporation, whether it's private or not, that's the definition of being a corporation. When they call a bank, for instance, insolvent, it's not insolvent. It still has money. It can still do business. What it's not doing is making a profit for its shareholders. So the bank is fine. They'll go in, they'll close it, and say that it was insolvent. But the reality of it, the situation is, that bank was simply just not making enough profit to be called soluble to the people who are, you know, making a profit out of that bank. So they merge it, and again, when you're talking about a merger or a buyout or a bailout, that's being done by corporations, by governments, through proxy vote. So, and again, this is all covered in the documentary. So if you really want to get just the ultimate basic introduction into what a CAFR is and how, you know, what the corporate government really is, that's why I recorded it, because I don't mumble when I and talk in long sentences when I put it into a movie form. So that would be my recommendation, if this is sparking your interest, for anybody that hasn't seen it. And then once you get through the basics and see that, then it's time to start doing your own research, pulling up your own CAFRs in your city, your town. Because, you know, everybody complains. Everybody says, oh, why is this happening? But you know what? When a mother, father, anyone complains about their school district, you know, there's one question you should be asking. Do you know what that school district's checking account balance is? Well, no, of course not. You don't know that. You barely know what yours is half the time. So if you don't even know the basic accounting structure for that particular school district or that government or your city government, if you can't look at these reports and say, wait a minute, why is there so many inconsistencies? Why are they telling us that they need taxes when they have $400 million extra dollars that are unreserved net assets that they can spend towards anything they want to? Why aren't they telling us that? Well, it's because they don't have to, because basically what you see every year is what they call the taxpayer budget. These aren't two separate books, so don't think of this as that the government has two sets of books. The government only has one set of books, and it's called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. What they do is they say, well, all we really have to report by law is, you know, in a public forum, is the taxpayer budget. In other words, tax in, tax out. What we collect in taxes, parking tickets, and other fines and fees, which serve no one but government, and what they spend out of those taxes. And of course, they're always going to spend a little more than they take in so that they can continue to raise your taxes. What is taxation? Taxation is simply defined as revenue generation. There is absolutely no reason for taxation. And that's where Walter Burian comes in. And you know, for the reason I like Walter is because he's got a solution to all of this. And it's modeled after the pension fund system. And it's called a tax retirement fund. And you can go to taxretirementfund.com, I believe. And you can also go to CAFR1, CAFR1.com. Honestly, the reason that I did this and the reason I did this for free and that I'm not expecting anything out of it is because I want Walter to succeed in what he's trying to do, because if he succeeds in getting just one little town, little county, little anything to go under his tax retirement fund, it would open up all of the books. There would be complete transparency. A fund would be started that would start kind of like the pension funds. It would build and build and build, and eventually the profits and everything from that fund would start paying off instead of going into some lawyer or attorney's pocket that works for government, and we're talking 70% of government is attorneys. It would instead go, all that profit and all those dividends and returns from all these investments would go to pay for police, for fire, for streets, for everything else. There's no reason for taxation. You could have a million years of absolutely beautiful, beautiful, beautiful life. Competition in business would be what was sought after instead of criminal activity. I can't say enough about Walter. If you really want to get to the bottom of this and actually have a solution for this, you have to check out Walter Burian and you have to check out his tax retirement fund, because it is the solution to all of this. So,
yeah, a lot of us already know about the CAFR funds and Walter Burian, but I like your video because it goes in depth into the extreme of, well, it shows how many corporations there are. It's like corporations, inside corporations. It just never ends. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, they tell us that they're going to have to cut services and cut this and cut jobs, but that's baloney. They don't have to cut anything. I mean, there's enough money there to take care of everything they want to take care of. But have you ever looked at Barack Obama's name on Dun & Bradstreet?
Looked at what? I'm sorry?
Barack Obama, the president's name on Dun & Bradstreet, or United States of America on Dun & Bradstreet. It comes up as a trade name or trading as Barack Obama.
I know I got sent a few things that listed all the names that Barack Obama has used in the past, and it was some ridiculous amount of different social securities and numbers and different names. So I don't know what to think of this guy.
I know, but they're all, in themselves, they're all corporate entities also. They're the all caps name corporation.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, I've looked into that as well, the straw man and the. In fact, I wrote, you know, if anybody wants to, I've been writing for a while too, so I mean, I'll give that out too. My blog is actually Reality Blogger, so it's the word reality, blogger, B-L-O-G. E-R with one G, so realityblogger.wordpress.com. I mean, I've been writing articles for about a year and a half now, so there's a lot of stuff up there. And I wrote one article, it's called Killing Your Straw Man. It's got a lot of hits, and basically I just took what Tim Turner was saying and put it into a little easier to understand words, and so I mean, I'm familiar with the whole concept. I mean, but I guess my problem with part of me did this for that movement, for the Restore America and all that stuff, because they kept trying to tell people that it was a corporation again, and so I'm like, well, here's the proof. You don't have to tell people now. You can just show them this. It's really simple. I mean, you know, here's the proof. You can't dispute it. I think that's the beautiful thing about this is I was able to create this. And besides the first hour of just educational stuff, you know, once I get into the second and third hour of this documentary, this is, I mean, you've watched it. It's indisputable. There's nothing you can say to say, well, that's not true. No, it's right there in front of your face. Okay. And that's why this is such an important tool. You know, not to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty darn proud of it.
You did a really remarkable job. Have you had any training in movie making or documentary filmmaking? Or?
Well, only actually, that was the first time I've ever done anything with a video. I watched a couple other people on Final Cut, and I've had Final Cut on my computer for so long and just never really used it. So I just delved into it and learned as I was going. So it kind of got a little fancier as I got more into it. But I was a professional sound designer, so I'm you know, did a lot of voiceover and all that stuff. So that's why the audio is fairly decent and all that, which, you know, it's probably the most important part in movies as far as I'm concerned.
The whole thing is top notch.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm working on three other documentaries now.
Wow. Good for you.
I'm going to release one soon. Let me just tell you guys this, because I've made a discovery, and you're going to be the first to hear about it. Actually, I've been doing a vaccine documentary because for about 3 or 4 months I had to know the truth about vaccines, and so I just delved into the research and found just so much about it, and so I started making this documentary, and there was one thing that I hadn't really looked into, and it's called human diploid cells. Now, human diploid cells, and anyone doesn't know this, human diploid cells are the harvested cells of aborted babies. Okay? If you have taken the childhood recommended vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella, which just about everybody has had, you have pieces of aborted baby floating around in your system. Basically what happened is in 1962 or so, there was all this research going on with these human diploid cells, but what happened is that they were really hard to get. And so we were getting our cells from Sweden and we're importing all these cells. And it was so expensive that I'm trying to build this connection, and I think I've pretty much found it. I'm still working on it. But if you want to know why Roe versus Wade happened, it's because the abortion industry, the amount of money that is made on discarded carcasses, discarded babies, without the approval or anything of the mothers who are losing their babies, you know, The abortion business is one of the most profitable businesses that you can imagine. And it's because they're harvesting all of these cells, these human diploid cells. They're growing vaccine cultures on these cells, putting them in these vaccines, and shooting them up with people. So whether you believe in vaccines or not, I mean, after you see my documentary, I doubt you will, but whether you believe vaccines are good for you or not, I'm going at this, and now I'm having to start over because I'm going at this from the moral value of saying, hey, there's a whole industry that's been built up around the abortion industry, and I'm pretty sure that's why it was made legal for abortions in this country, because it was just too darn expensive to be importing human diploid cells and all this other cells that have been that are used in these type of research. So you're the first to hear it. I couldn't believe it myself, and I'm still connecting all the dots and doing all the research, but I'm astounded. And you know, I've come up with other statistics where you know, Planned Parenthood is always located in the sort of downtrodden, usually black or Hispanic parts of the city. And there's a reason for that. it's not funny. I shouldn't laugh, because the statistic is that 50% of all black babies in this country, all African-American babies, are aborted in this country. So we're talking that half of all babies that are born black in this country are aborted before they ever see life. Okay? You got to ask yourself why that is happening and what possible benefit that can have. And unfortunately, the answer is medical research, pharmaceutical research, organ harvesting. Those are the reasons. And so I'm telling, basically the reason I'm telling you people this is, whatever your opinion on vaccines is, if you have any moral compass with regards to, you know, the abortion issue, which I don't know how anybody can be for abortion, or at least, you know, for the act of it, you know, you might be pro-choice, but against it for yourself. But if you have any moral compass when it comes to abortion, and you start realizing what I just told you, you darn well better start looking at the ingredients and how these vaccines are made, despite all the other, you know, chemical weapon type of chemicals that are in these vaccines. I hope to God that people will start looking and start demanding that this nonsense stops. This is a crime against humanity. 50% of black babies aborted in this country, to the most profitable, you know, one of the most profitable industries out there. I mean, I don't know. That's, again, it's the first time I've really spoken that publicly, so hopefully I'm not stepping on any toes out there.
No, well, we're probably pretty much kept all of that. And do you know Ingrid Cassell?
What's that?
Do you know Ingrid Cassell?
No.
Liberation Vaccination?
No, I haven't heard that.
Okay, well.
Is that a website?
She's got a website, yeah. She advocates that no one gets their babies well vaccinated with all these terrible things. But, you know, it's funny that you said that about the pharmaceutical industry, because for years they wouldn't allow abortion in this country. Or what is it? Not abortion, but they won't allow aborted fetal stem cells for stem cell research. Or they won't. It's not that they don't allow it; they won't fund it. But if they're done in other countries, there's no problem, I guess. So those all the pharmaceutical industries have, you know, affiliates or subsidiaries in other countries where they're not going to be called on the carpet for doing it, right? They just
exactly
all they want all the aborted babies.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the and remember, you know, I guess the most important lesson out of this is it's who you're dealing with, because the difference between, and you know this, I know I've been looking at your site, and obviously you know the difference between an artificial person and a real person. A corporation is literally an artificial person. It has no emotion, it has no feeling, it has no moral compass, it has no value system. It is based on usury, it is based on profit. So what we're talking about here, and why there are no there's no such thing as ethics anymore in business. Ethics has been completely wasted. It's just gone. It's shriveled up and dried away in big business. So, I mean, what we're talking about here really, the problem is, and why all of this is happening, is because well, it's so important to understand, and I hope I can explain it well. Corporations are the ones that are doing all of this horrible stuff. They're the ones doing the abortions. They're the ones doing, Monsanto is government owned. Okay, the reason that pharmaceuticals are able to get away with what they give, it's government owned. Okay, why are medical companies? Why is insurance so ridiculous? Well, it's government owned. Okay, why are banks getting away with what? Well, they're government owned. Okay, you get the picture. Everything, every industry out there is government has controlling interest in. So, but you can't just stop there. There's more. So then you have to take into consideration that government, you know, it sounds like government's this big bad terror that owns all these corporations. Governments, you know, they're not dumb. Anybody who thinks George Bush is dumb, I've got a blog entry called George Bush for Dummies. And if you watch it, you see that 4 years before he got elected as president, he was one of the best orators you'll ever seen. He was running for the governor of Texas, and he was one of the best speakers I've ever heard. And then all of a sudden, no, he's not stupid. We're stupid for thinking he's stupid because, you know, it's like deniability. Oh, well, we can't blame him. He's just some poor schmuck who got put in there because of his daddy. That is so not true. These guys are brilliant. They're fooling us all. So the point is, when someone from Monsanto writes a bill, and I'm sure a lot of you probably already know this, but when someone from Monsanto writes a bill, that's someone, you know, that's a bill that wants to get passed. They're writing it because the government wants it written. They quit their job. They join the government, say the FDA. They get a nice high power position at the FDA, former Monsanto worker. They pass the bill that they wrote while working at Monsanto. They quit the FDA, and they go back to work for Monsanto. You can transfer that to any industry out there. Who's running the country? Well, gee, a bunch of people who, presidents of the Federal Reserve go to the government, go back to the Federal Reserve. Presidents of Lehman Brothers come to the Treasury, then go back to, Lehman Brothers. You see it constantly. And so government is, again, it's not a representative government. Government is simply there. It's really hard to explain. Government is simply there as the regulating body of their investment-owned corporations. Well, of course, they're going to make it so and pass laws and code and all that and make it so that these corporations can make a profit. It doesn't matter if Monsanto's making you sick or if these pharmaceuticals are going to make you sick. You know, they're going to make sure that Tamiflu gets passed out all over the world because, you know, Donald Rumsfeld, you know, used to be the head guy I can't remember the company name, but you get the idea. Government is not there to regulate these companies. Government is there to deregulate or to make it easier for their investment-owned corporations to do business. Okay, corporations that own corporations. It's such a tangled web, but when you look at it this way, everything makes sense. You can take any industry and you can say, okay, why is this happening? Why am I getting spied on by Microsoft? Oh, well, gee, Microsoft is 83% owned by government. Well, I guess that's who's making the decisions. Who's selling all my information on the internet? Who regulates the internet? Who regulates theft, identity theft? Well, you know, I hate to point fingers, but I'm guessing that it's government that's probably doing most of the identity theft through some form of control. I mean, that's how deep this goes. There are no accidents. I mean, You're talking about if you own the corporations. Again, I'm rambling. I apologize. If you own the corporations, you pretty much know what decisions are going to be made in the future. You know what mergers and acquisitions. You know when stock is going to split. So therefore, you know when to pull your money out and put your money in. The whole thing is rigged. It's like a permanent insider trading, because the government, which is a corporation, owns these corporations, which they have stock investment in, so they literally can change the whole market to benefit themselves. Does that make sense? Anybody there?
Well, it makes sense, and it's the truth.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, it's obvious when you have your eyes open out here and you look at what's going on. You have delved much more into detail, obviously, and that's wonderful, because that's really going to help people to understand what's going on. And the fact that the government is the one that's creating the problems has been rather obvious. It's just people need to understand more about it, and it's up to us to do something about it, isn't it?
It really is. It falls back onto the people. And remember, you know, we're not talking about people here. We're talking about artificial people. And so artificial people can be killed. They're not people. They're corporations. They can be dissolved. They have no place in a constitutional republic. There is no place for corporations. They're not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. There's nothing that says private corporations or artificial people, persons, are supposed to be government. It's simple as that. It really is. It's simple as that. Corporations, all corporations, as far as I'm concerned, need to be dissolved and a new system set up where there's complete transparency. Because really what we're talking about, the major problem, is transparency. So, I mean, let's take the central bank. Everybody's against the central bank. Central bank's bad. And I don't blame them, because it's one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, central bank. Income tax, same thing. But that doesn't mean a fiat currency is necessarily bad. Nothing's bad. Nothing is inherently bad unless there's no transparency and the wrong people, or the wrong artificial people, get a hold of it. A fiat currency can be just fine as long as Congress is doing its job and creating that money and it's completely transparent. I mean, you got to ask yourself, if government is a representative of the people, how can it possibly not be completely transparent? Why do we allow our government to tell us no about anything?
Exactly.
That's not what they're there for. That's not what it's about. So it is. It's exactly. The people must do something and do it quick, because every city, every town, every state, every county, each one of your little corporations that you call government, they're heavily, I don't know the word, treatized. They each have individual treaties with the United Nations because they're corporations. They are... The ties with globalization, with Agenda 21, with all of that is so thick. I mean, you can go and you can ask your local government. It's hard to find sometimes, find it online, but you can search for individual treaties that your city actually has with the United Nations. It's nuts. Most of them regarding Agenda 21 type of stuff. So if we don't do something, and quick, literally everything is going to be owned by government. The government owns 97% of my state. The land in my state, Utah, is 97% owned by government. Nevada, 95%. Okay, it's owned by government, but held in the public trust.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the people own it.
No. No, the people
like
do not own
said.
Anything.
You said
who are the owners
of
the corporation? Somebody on the board is asking that question. Who are the owners of these corporations?
You know, that's a very common question, and this is something that I have not been able to really comprehend. I've asked Walter about this, and it's one of the things that I intend to do. I'm going to make a second part to this Corporation Nation where I take all these questions that people ask me that I can't answer. Walter, when I ask him, he gets angry because that's usually the question people ask that because it doesn't have an answer. You know, like I said, people think of this shadowy elite that are pulling all the strings, and that very well may be, but essentially what he'll tell you is that it doesn't matter, that you've got the evidence of crime right in front of your face. You know where the money is because of the comprehensive annual financial report. Let's not focus on who is pulling the strings. Let's focus on taking it back.
We need to hold them accountable.
Well, sure, but how are you going to do that right now? You can't do that. But if you were to implement his system, what would happen is all of those books, all of those money trails, all of that information would suddenly be completely open, transparent. You would see what was happening. But, you know, to sit here, I mean, I could sit here and say that the Zionists are responsible. I can sit here and say that the Vatican is responsible. I can tell you that, you know, I have an article here that shows that the Queen, through Parliament, changed our Social Security system. All right? I mean, I can tell you all kinds of things like that, but can I do anything about it? And so the best answer I have to that question, because I don't have the answer, is let's not focus on that because we can't do anything about it. What we have here is evidence. We have evidence of a massive cover-up and crime by these corporations that are acting in government, and we need to stop it, and we need to take it back. Now, what is the solution officially? I don't know, but the only thing I've seen that actually has a chance or make sense to me is what Walter is purporting to do. And I love the man, okay? I have no affiliation with him. I've never gotten a red cent from him from that documentary. I've seen what he wants to do. It makes sense. It's the only thing that does make sense to me. And if just one, you know, city or county or little small municipality could change over to his system, and all of a sudden, in a year or two, they're not paying any taxes, no property taxes, no nothing. Well, what do you think every other town around them is going to do? They're going to want in on that thing. So.
Oh, yeah. It'll catch on like and take off like wildfire. So then what we need to do is bring forth Walter's plan. He's a little pissed at me right now. But I don't know if you mentioned my name to him, but I know he still loves me. But we need to get his plan out front and start promoting that, make a website, you know, get people on board to spread the word. And it's just the whole idea of the CAFRs is kind of complicated, and it's hard to explain to people. But that's why I love the video so much. I mean, it's really good. You really went. You did. You went way beyond.
I did, you know, and the biggest complaint about the video is that it's too long. And I'm like, you know what? This isn't supposed to be some Hollywood production that you know, it's obviously it's not. I'm like, if you spent 12 years from kindergarten through high school and you know, you got a really crappy education, you don't even know how to balance your checkbook half the time, then you paid for a college education sponsored by the state, all the curriculum forced on the college by the state, so you just paid for an even worse education as far as I'm concerned. If you have a BS, you have, well, you pretty much, well, you know what BS stands for.
You got BS.
Exactly. If you have an MBS, you have more BS. You know, as far as I don't have a college education. What I have is, call it a gift or a curse, where I can read a government bill, and I can translate it into something that people can understand. That's my talent, and that's, I guess, what I'm using it for is something like this. So, like I said, as far as the other question, though, is there who are the stock? Who are the shareholders of the corporation? What Walter says, and the best way I can relay what Walter says, is it's really not about that. I don't know if there is necessarily a set of people who are holding the shares. What it really is, and this is so important to understand, is what's become of our society and what's become of our workforce and our our sense of integrity and work ethic has been replaced by greed, corruption, usury, and if someone doesn't know what usury is, usury, I mean, it's basically making money off of money or making money off the suffering of others, making money where money shouldn't be, interest, okay? It's a bad thing. Every major religion in the world is against usury, except Judaism, which we won't get into, but, you know, the problem is not that we have some group of people doing this. The problem is that if you get involved in a corporation, you get involved in a job, you will get farther. You will get ahead only if you lie, cheat, and steal.
So
what we're talking about here is not, you know, a bunch of rich fat cats. We're talking about a whole group of people who see opportunity because it's easy money. I can go in as a you know, whatever. And I can say, I want to build some condos, okay? Well, you know, in Australia. And the government is going to say, well, all right, I don't have any problem with that. We'll start you a fund. Here's a prospectus that's been used before. Just go ahead and fill in the blanks and turn it back in. We'll send some of that money your way, and you can build your condos. We'll, you know, and it just goes on like that. It's theft in plain sight, essentially. And unless you, as a government employee, whether you're elected or not, most are not elected, unless you are greedy and corrupt and don't mind, you know, creating these funds and building these, you know, this real estate and investing all this money off the backs of the American people, you're not going to get ahead in government, you know, in a government job, and you're not going to get ahead in a normal corporation either. Because ethics is dead. So I'm just telling people, stop thinking of this, you know, shadowy elite, okay? If there is such a thing, we can't do anything about it at this point. But if we expose all this and we make everything transparent, you know, transparency is the most important thing, because then nothing bad can happen. Because then I can say, hey, wait a minute, you're out of here. You're trying to steal money. The second anybody tries to steal anything, well, you know, someone like you or me can point it out, and they're gone. They're fired. You know, the other thing about Walter's thing is that it's the tax retirement fund is that it you actually have an incentive as a government person to or a fund manager to downsize government, because the more government you have, the more money you're going to have to spend, the less you're going to make as a politician. Whereas right now, you know, politicians create all kinds of false funds and false bills and false things. Well, you know, we're going to have to make our budget next year, and we're going to need this much and this much and this much. And, you know, oh, gee, we're going to be in the red this year, so we're going to raise your property taxes. We're going to, you know, it's all based on lies. It's all based on false figures. It's what it's really based on is future projections. And if you understand that all these budgets that they create, all these things, they're based on what they say is going to be needed in the future. But it's a lie. They can say whatever they want and say that their budget isn't big enough to match what's going to happen in 5 years. But it's a big lie. It means absolutely nothing. It's just figures that they throw out so that they can raise taxes and say, look, we're going to need this. You know, we're going to have to raise taxes. We're going to have to, you know, we got to build this
bridge.
It's all
entertainment.
Yeah,
it's all entertainment. If as long as they understand it's entertainment, they can lie through their teeth and it doesn't matter, because it's just entertainment. But you did good when you questioned the comptroller in your video. You say he's swearing up and down that the government is not a corporation. And then you come, I like that little tidbit. Well, the secretary, or what was it? You came up, you said the secretary, the treasury, the president, those are all corporation terms.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, they
so
are.
How could he say that the government is not a corporation when we've got a president and secretary and vice president and
Exactly.
The
well, he used I can't remember the word he used, but it was some corporate officer. I'm like, well, it's right there in the name. You just, you know,
right.
Financial officer. Well, that's a corporate term. You just shot yourself in the foot. Well, I mean, you saw how much he lied. I mean,
I know
he lied.
They just go on talking.
Bold-faced.
They, Yeah, they just continue on like nobody's paying attention. Well, that's because everybody's so dumbed down, you know, nobody knows.
I'll tell you, I love doing confrontations. Like I said, the airport one is really fun too because, you know, these guys have no idea. Police don't know law. They only know code because they're code enforcement officers. They don't know anything about law.
I couldn't believe he was going, well, we work for the corporation. We work for the corporation. It's like, oh my God. You know?
I was not expecting him to just come right out and say it. Oh, Salt Lake City Corp. Oh, what? Woohoo! You know, I was excited when he said that.
And then the head cop, the head guy that came, you were waiting for him to come over, he said the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't even faze them at all.
No, it's amazing. It really is. Let me read you the code that, you know, the code that he said in at the end there? That said I couldn't do what I was doing?
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right, let me read this to you, all right?
Okay.
So he basically said, well, you know, the code is here. And this is what it said. He had a little pocket sheet, and he said, well, this is not the full code, but let me read you just the first sentence and the title. Well, and here's what it said. It's a Salt Lake City Corporation code specifically for the airport. Okay. And by the way, guess who does these codes? It's a private corporation called Sterling Codifiers, and their client list is all kinds of different municipalities and corporations. So you got a private corporation that has nothing to do with government writing all these codes for all these corporations, and basically it's an art form because they're they're building a wall around free speech with all these codes to where it pokes and prods at free speech. Free speech is still there, but it's just this, it's completely surrounded by code. So, I mean, there's parts in here where it says you cannot be 20 feet from an elevator and you cannot be, you know, 10 feet from the ceiling. And I mean, it's just like, what? So, okay, let me read you this code.
Yeah, but it wasn't until you go get the permit that you're, you know, subject to it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that is just it. And if you understand the word consent, you understand a whole lot. So, okay, he basically said, yeah, you can't do this because you need a permit to do this. Here's the code. Well, here's what the code says. It's 16.12.220, which is what he said in the airport. And so I looked it up. It's called advertising materials. It says, no person shall post, distribute, or display signs, advertisements, circulars, printed material, or written matter at the airport without the written permission of the director. Okay? And that was what was on his sheet. So you look at that and you say, oh, well, gee, that kind of sounds like, you know, it sounds like me. Because, you know. But then the second sentence, and there's only two sentences, so they could have put this on there. The second sentence says, this section shall not apply when such distribution or displays are for religious, charitable, or political purposes.
Oh, my God. So, did you read it to him?
No, I didn't know the code. I had to go home and look for it. I couldn't find it, actually. I had to call into the airport police and ask for it. And he told it to me, and I read it to him over the phone. He's like, oh, well, then he read you the wrong one. That can't be it. So he starts looking, and he's, I'll call you back. I'll find one. And he calls me back 20 minutes later, and he found one that almost applies. But I mean, what they all have to do with is soliciting. In other words, trying to sell something or asking for money. Well, I'm not asking for money. I'm simply trying to save people from not getting cancer in 10 years and not destroying their DNA. It's simple as that.
I wrote I made a comment on the YouTube page that you weren't selling, you weren't advertising anything for sale, so it didn't have anything to do with commerce, so it didn't apply.
Exactly. Anyway. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's almost become a hobby now confronting these guys because they just don't know what to do. They're not used to people standing up to them, you know, and it's actually great fun. I recommend it for everyone. We're thinking about going back to the airport. Well, this is my little idea.
Oh, you should, and bring code with you.
Well, that too, but I want to go back and I want to do the same exact thing we were doing, but I want to do it with blank pieces of paper. And I'm going to sit there and hand out blank pieces of paper and say the same exact thing and just see what they do, because they're going to be like, well, you can't hand that out. I'm like, what, blank pieces of paper? I mean, what's the rule against that? You know, just to have fun with these guys and show them, look, what are you doing, man? Why are you messing with me? Why are you part of this machine? Why are you part of this system trying to take away my rights? And of course, now that I have all these codes and I've done the research, I'm going to be like, well, look at here. I'll tell you what else. I'm going to release a blog entry really soon, like in the next couple of days, because some people sent me some codes, some US codes. And what I'm finding out is that the whole of domestic security, the Department of Domestic Security, not necessarily Homeland Security, but domestic security, that means all of the scanners and everything at the airport, all the police, it's completely voluntary. It's a voluntary basis because it's not statutory law. It's just a code. It's a prima facie law, which means it's assumed. It's not even an official law. So in order to actually be subject to anything that the security part of the airport or just about anything that has to do with domestic security, it's all voluntary. So if you go into any public building and they want to search you and go through a metal detector, it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. Literally, it's the code. It says it right there. So
yeah, well, so is filing a 1040 return. It's
well, there you
voluntary
go.
Compliance.
There you go. Exactly.
They got the guns, though, you know?
Well, yeah, and for tax people out there, I mean, the only reason that you're liable for the tax, just like this video, the only reason you're liable for tax, income tax specifically, is because you file that 1040 form. If you don't file the form, you're not liable. You haven't signed a contract. You haven't done anything that says you owe taxes because you haven't signed that 1040 form. Likewise, if I go and sign a permit to have free speech, I'm giving up my right of free speech in order to get permission. Well, once I get permission under contract, well, then I have to obey that contract. It's simple as that. So never get a permit for free speech.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've gone an hour and 22 minutes. You want to take questions, Dave?
Sure, we can do that. We've got a couple of different people in the queue. Chris Summers is the first one. I'll go ahead and unmute you, Chris. Go ahead. Chris, are you there? I unmuted you.
Yeah, I apologize. I was trying to get your attention that I was recording it, and that was like an hour ago.
Oh, okay. I saw your Skype. Thank you. I appreciate the efforts. We got a couple of different people recording, but thanks, Chris.
Yeah, but I find this as being very interesting. I think this is one of the things that we really seriously need to start addressing. If there's any plans that you have for people to get into their counties, and if you've got formulas or methodologies that you'd like to share on the call here, that would be really great. I wouldn't mind going into my county and start digging this stuff up. We found out by the county treasury, she openly admitted that they take cases all the way down to traffic tickets, and they securitize these right through the treasury of the county. And one of the things that I found out is Wells Fargo is the trustee for the county. Not only the trustee, but they are the ones that handled the trusteeship for the conversion of cases into security investment, just like the Chris accounts over at the federal level.
Right.
And they were open about it. Had no problems with telling us.
Well, that's kind of what I was referring to, is like people don't even think about the jobs they're doing anymore. They just do it. They don't think, oh, well, this is really corrupt. I shouldn't be doing this. No one has the crisis of conscience that I was referring to at the beginning of the call. People just, like I said, this kind of thievery, usury is just natural to people, and that's what needs to stop. this will really bake your noodle, actually. And again, some of you might know this, but one thing we can't do, unfortunately, is fight this in any type of ordinary way, because here's one of the worst things that I've found out, and this was just recently, you know, the court system is absolutely not a court system. And I know a lot of you know this, but what you might not know is that, for instance, in L.A., the court, when they build the courts, and they build a lot of courts, it's actually a private corporation, of course, naturally. But what happens is they build these courts. The judge is usually the one that builds it, so he's the main guy. Then they create dummy accounts that are not registered with the IRS. They write checks on those accounts. There's no accountability whatsoever. Plus, the taxpayers pay rent. In other words, the government pays rent to that private-owned court owned by a judge in the form of millions of dollars each year to rent that court and use it for basically commerce. You know, we all know about the commerce and all the, you know, the court stuff. So basically, you've got a judge who builds a court with public money, creates a dummy account and launders money through the court, sends a lot of people to jail. Now, this is one of my big pet peeves, that we're sending so many people to these private prisons that you know, they're not guilty of anything but maybe smoking a joint or running a light or, you know, whatever. They're victimless crimes, essentially. So, I mean, we've got this whole system of courts that are completely corrupt in a way that I could never even have imagined. Private corporate courts that are literally being not only built by judges, but rent being paid to them for the government to use. I mean, it's the whole thing is absolutely, it's too far gone to even try to utilize the courts in this manner. And we all
not
know
only
that.
Go ahead. Well, go ahead, finish.
Well, no, I was probably the same thing you're going to say, so you go ahead.
I was going to say is not only that, is they also own these mental facilities where they make the people go for their psychiatric evaluations, and they own the hospitals, and they own the prison systems.
Well, I'll tell you, that's my worst.
They own architectural firms. I mean, it's so corrupted, it's ridiculous.
That's probably my worst fear, is that they're not going to, you know, if I go too far and start exposing crime families and, you know, money being laundered through all these different things, you know, my worst fear is probably not that they're going to kill me, that they're going to put me in a, you know, some kind of institutional setting and just, you know, I'll rot. But,
yeah,
you know, like I said, I'm one of these rare people that at this point I have no fear. I've got no children. I've got no family, essentially. I decided that I have to do this, and I'm going to keep doing it until a bullet goes in my head, essentially. And it's going to get worse, because the things I'm going to be uncovering here are just going to be, or they're going to blow your mind. I mean, if you think the Kaffir thing is big, wait till you know, see some of the next stuff. So I'm a little fearful. People are recommending different types of guns and bullets. So, it's going to be an interesting ride. So wish me luck.
Yeah. Well,
can we get clarification? I'm sorry. Can we get clarification on that realityblogger.woodpress.com? I could not find that.
It's the word reality, so R-E-A-L-I-T-Y.
Yeah, that's what I'm... And it doesn't.
And come then, up. Blogger with one G.
All with one G. Okay, that's the.
And then .wordpress.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's it for
you
me, Dave.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Would you go ahead and mute out if you would. We're going to go to Deanie's. You have been unmuted. Go ahead and ask your question or make your comment if you would, please.
Can you hear me?
Can hear you.
Hi. I wanted to find out if you know why they want to use, for the vaccines, why do they need to use the baby parts, the baby stuff?
Well, the reason the reason that I've seen from the literature that I've pulled up, and I'm still in the middle of the research, but I mean, basically, if you think about it, it's kind of a logical answer. The, you know, they've been using monkey kidneys and you know, rats and all these different animals to grow these to grow these cultures on. Well, what makes more sense to grow them on? Well, you know, humans, because for one thing, you know, there's SV40, which was the monkey kidney virus, which causes cancer. You know, they found 40 different viruses while using these monkeys, and the SV40 variety of the virus is, you know, I mean, I've got quotes from scientists that created vaccines saying leukemia virus was in the yellow fever vaccine, that we imported AIDS virus from these green monkeys, the African green monkeys that we were, getting illegally. I've got a wealth of information that will just blow your mind. So essentially, these human diploid cells take away that particular aspect where you're now growing it on human cells, makes it a lot easier. But there's also the whole world of cloning. And I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, because we've been watching these science fiction movies for years and years and years about cloning. Well, cloning is alive and well. You would be shocked about what's going on. I mean, they're growing brain cells on computer chips and communicating with the brain cells. There is some really scary stuff going on out there, and that's because they have access to all of these cells we're talking about. Research that I don't even know, I can't figure why people would even want to do. It's like these people have no soul, really.
They're creating monsters.
Yeah,
that movie, The Island of Dr. Moreau, or whatever.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who knows what's going on in some of these research facilities? I shudder to think. Honestly, I really do.
Well, I saw that one. There's that one mouse with the ear growing out of his back.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's pretty popular too. You know, the other thing I saw is they've harvested. What is it? I think it's salamander dust, essentially. They call it magic dust, and you can actually, if you lose a finger, you can put it on your finger, and your finger will grow back, because, you know, when you pull off a tail or lose a leg on a salamander, I think it's salamander, they grow it right back, and it's exactly the same. Yeah. Well, they're sprinkling this dust, they call it magic dust, on, of course, soldiers who lose wounds in the, you know, limbs in the war, and they're growing them back. I mean, you know, the medical breakthroughs that they've come up with that they're not telling us about, because it wouldn't be profitable to cure disease. It's only profitable to cause and then give symptom relievers to disease. And, you know, these things, when I say that, I'm dead serious. You know, there is no profit in curing disease at all. There are no cures. There's only symptom relievers, which generally need other pills in the form of symptom relievers, because, you know, I mean, just watch your TV or look in a magazine and look at all the side effects from all the drugs that you're supposed to tell your doctor about.
Sometimes the portion of the side effects takes longer than the portion of the commercial.
Exactly.
The
if you guys really want, and this is probably my highest recommendation of a movie that you can buy. Unfortunately, you can't see it online, but I highly, 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 highly recommend a movie called Brzezinski. Now, this is not the one you're thinking of. This is Dr. Brzezinski in Texas. Okay, and it's spelled like it sounds, like Briss. You know, it's pretty much spelled like. If you type in Brzezinski movie and order that movie, don't even you know worry about. You can watch the trailer; it'll make you cry. But order that movie. Support that guy, because it is the most telling movie I've ever seen. I mean, this guy has been curing cancer for 20 years. He's cured incurable cancer. And you know what he's doing it with? He's doing it with urine and blood from people who don't have cancer. That's it.
Wow.
It's simple as that. You're missing a chemical that stops the cancer from growing. 20 years. The FDA tried to take him to court and did so 9 different times, 9 grand juries, all said, what are you taking this guy to court for? Well, turned out the reason they were trying to take him to court was because they, at the same time they were trying to put him in jail, they were stealing his patents. They were repatenting. The FDA was repatenting his, I can't remember what it's called, the actual medicine or the actual chemical.
Hoxie? Are you talking about Hoxie?
Hoxie, no. No, it's something plasmids. I can't remember the actual name, but it's just a, like I said, it's a chemical that comes out in your urine if you are a cancer-free person, essentially. I mean, it's so simple and so brilliant, and because the FDA is the regulating body, again, we go back to the CAFRs, because the pharmaceutical and cancer industry, cancer is one of the most profitable industries in the world right now.
Sure.
Okay, that's why there's no cure for cancer, because it wouldn't be profitable. So yeah. This guy comes out with a cure. He's curing incurable brain cancer, breast cancer, every kind of cancer, because it's simply that chemical. That's why I say you got to get this movie and watch it, because not only does it show the blatant crime of the federal government trying to steal the patent, it's the cure for cancer, literally. And they won't let him do trials. They won't let him do, you know, you have to fly to Texas. You can't get the chemicals, because that would be interstate commerce. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to see the way things work, I highly, highly recommend Brzezinski Movie. I think it's BrzezinskiMovie.com. Just order it.
Yeah.
Just don't even waste your time.
Oh, yeah, talk to you. Someone on the Oyak on the chat just printed it out. It's www.BrzezinskiMovie.com. So it's BrzezinskiMovie.com.
Yeah, exactly. Tell that person thank you very much.
he heard you. But there is another video on YouTube that you can watch called the Hoxie story. I think it is Hoxie. H-O-C, I forget how you spell it. Somebody will spell it here. But it's Hoxie, and they took him to court like 17 times. But he had so many witnesses that were cured that kept showing up to testify, they couldn't go against him. It's the same thing, the FDA, and of course they showed J.P. Morgan in there, and the Rockefellers were involved. They tried to buy his patent. They wanted to buy his patent. He was going to let them buy his patent until he said that, you know, unless someone can't afford it, I want them to get the treatment for free. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. So he never did. He never did give them the recipe or whatever. So his nurse wound up going down to Mexico, and that's where you have to have it done. But this is back in the 40s and 50s.
Right. Yeah, I mean, basically the cure for every disease and the relief for everything from fuel shortages to electricity short, you know, everything is there. It's all patented. It's all out there, ready to be used. But guess who owns the patents? The very people, you know, you're not going to have alternative energy while oil companies, you know, are making so much profit. You're not going to have alternative electricity when General Electric's out there making light bulbs and they're, you know, these government controls the electric company. I mean, think about it. Nothing's gonna get done while these corporations own everything. So
that's true. You know, I had I was diagnosed with rheumatoid psoriatic arthritis, and I went on the Atkins diet. It had nothing to do with the arthritis. It's just I wanted to lose some weight. So I went on the Atkins diet, and I lost about 100 pounds. But the side effect of the Atkins diet was it cured the arthritis. There's no more rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow.
My doctor, my rheumatologist, you know what the last thing was he said to me?
Huh.
He said, with people like you, I'm going to go out of business.
I was just going to say, don't tell anybody.
Yeah. So that tells you they just want to treat you forever, you know, give you treatments. They don't want you to be cured.
Right.
They don't even learn the word.
No. And, you know, they don't diagnose. They simply input things into the computer, which are they're pretty much sponsored by the pharmaceuticals, and they get kicked back a drug to give. I mean, it's nuts the way the system's set up right now.
I told my son's doctor, you're just a glorified drug dealer. His doll, he doesn't like that when I talk like that, but I don't care. They're not gods, these guys.
Hey, so I want to read you guys something else, if you don't mind. I know there's probably other questions, but I found this as I was researching. I have it on my blog too, but I found this as I was researching the body scanners and stuff. Someone sent me this code, and I just couldn't believe it. Okay, this is part of the U.S. code, and this should blow your mind. This should, I mean, you know, I always think, wow, why aren't people rioting in the streets? But I'm just going to read this to you, okay? It's from the Cornell Library. Like I said, it's on my blog, my latest blog, which was the National Opt-Out Day, the first one on there. But here's what it says, okay? It says it's a U.S. code. In fact, I'm going to pull it up so people can actually pull it up themselves. How about that? The number is U.S. Code, and it's Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 113B, as in boy. So Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 113B, and then whatever that symbol is, I guess Section 2332H. Okay. okay, the title of this, and I'm just going to read the first two parts. It says radiological dispersal devices. Okay, this is U.S. code regarding radiological dispersal devices. Here's what it says. It says A, unlawful conduct. 1, in general, except as provided in paragraph 2, which we'll get to in a second, it shall be unlawful for any person to knowingly produce, construct, otherwise acquire, transfer directly or indirectly, receive, possess, import, export, or use, or possess, and threaten to use, A, any weapon that is designed or intended to release radiation or radioactivity at a level dangerous to human life, and you got to realize there is no safe level of radiation, and then B, any device or other object that is capable of and designed or intended to endanger human life through the release of radiation or radioactivity. So basically, they just said you cannot use, as a person, as a corporate citizen, you cannot use any weapon like a nuclear bomb or any device, meaning what we're talking about, which is an airport scanner, or other object that is capable of and designed to endanger human life. All right, well, obviously these scanners are capable of endangering human life. Then it's in paragraph 2, which it referred to up there, it says exception. And this blew my mind when I read this. It says exception. This subsection does not apply with respect to conduct by or under the authority of the United States or any department or agency thereof, or B, conduct pursuant to the terms of a contract with the United States or any department or agency thereof. So, translation, the U.S. government, any entity involved with the U.S. government, or anyone under contract with the United States government can irradiate you anytime they want to. They can do it to you, your family, anybody in this country, and anybody outside of this country, and they are protected by this U.S. code. There is no crime committed by dropping a nuclear bomb anywhere, or, for instance, using ammunition in Iraq that is laced with depleted uranium, for instance. This code is the most frightening code I've ever read, and I'm sure there's more frightening ones. But this basically, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card for the government using radiation against us.
I think this all of Title 18, though, is Title 18, I think, is not positive law, right?
It is, actually. I checked. It is statutory law.
I think it's codified and all like that, what they say?
It is. It is statutory law. You know, I can double check, but I'll, here. In fact, I think I have it up here somewhere, if I can find it. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, you got all the time you need.
We
don't have to make time for any commercial breaks on this.
Isn't that beautiful? I bet you guys can cuss too, huh?
Yeah, we sure can.
Woohoo!
You should hear John Stewart. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John? 18 out of the 50 titles, only 23 have been enacted into positive or statutory law, and 18 is one of them.
Okay.
And I'm going to be, like I said, I'm going to be posting all this information on my blog here coming up in the next couple of days. So it's actually pretty interesting. You know, common law, constitutional law, U.S. code. So.
Oh, yes. We eat, sleep, drink that stuff on here all the time, 24/7. That's all we do. Right now, we're really.
What's that? Did I lose everybody?
I think we lost Angela.
Oh, no.
Maybe she went to intermission. Angela, come back to us.
All right, then. Well, I'll tell you what. I actually have to – I have another radio program that I'm doing tonight at 9 o'clock. So, well, 9 o'clock my time, which is in 15 minutes. So
okay.
– I got about 10 minutes that I can keep talking. If anybody else has a question, or I've got one other thing I want to talk about.
We have somebody else that popped up with a question. Oya Talk Shoe, I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, quick question. You said there is a solution to this CAFR stuff. If we all get together and do whatever is necessary, could you reiterate what that specifically might be besides spreading the word to all our friends and neighbors?
Get your guns out. That's what you got to do. No, you basically, as far as I'm concerned, and what I've seen and what I've you know, heard people talk about, you know, this guy, Walter Burian, who's the absolute most knowledgeable man about this subject. I am an infant.
I've been on his side. I've known about him for about 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Well, like I said, I'm an infant. I'm infantile in my knowledge compared to this man. I have different views on it, and I can figure things out and go different places than him. But when it comes to the actual, you know, knowledge and power of it and size and scope of it, he's the god of CAFRs, essentially. So I'm you know, he's getting older and his health is not great. He's been through a lot for trying to expose this. So I his solution is called a tax retirement fund. You can go to taxretirementfund.com. It's not the greatest of websites. Again, it's taxretirementfund.com. So it's not the greatest of websites. He's explained the whole thing to me, and he also on his CAFR1.com site, you know, he posts all his phone number and all that, so you can call him directly, and if you're really interested in actually trying to start it, he'll tell you how to do it. That's basically the only thing that I've seen that anybody's come out with that actually makes sense, that actually doesn't really change much. I mean, you can use the same people in government, and basically all you're doing is, instead of picking at this dying carcass that is the American public, you know, and taking all of our wealth and prosperity and land and ownership, instead of doing that, all you're doing is changing the beneficiary, because right now the beneficiary of all these efforts and all these funds and all this money that they're stealing is their pockets, essentially. It's going into these funds. It's being transferred all around into different countries and different, you know, it's nuts. So instead of picking at a dying carcass where eventually it's just gonna die and you're not gonna have any left to pick on, change the beneficiary of that and make the people the beneficiary. In other words, start paying your law enforcement and everything else, and which you wouldn't need much of, with these funds, with these dividends that are being created. And you can still have this thing called corporate governance, but it would be transparent. It would be, you know, not the same thing. You know, you build this tax retirement fund, you create new laws, you make it absolutely unlawful if someone even begins to think about stealing or doing something that would, hurt, you know, be unlawful, they'd go right to jail. I mean, we're talking about a completely transparent, open government, something that no one's ever seen before. And that's what his solution is. And to me, that is the solution. Transparency is the absolute solution.
Isn't that what Obama campaigned on was transparency? And look how transparent his administration's been.
Sure
huh?
thing. Yeah, but yeah. This is absolutely a written law, a highly enforced law. And man, you put Walter up there. He's got so many he's got so many people he'd love to see go to jail. So like
all,
I said,
yeah.
it would open the entire book system. In other words, you got this whole set of books out there that we're not seeing besides the CAFRs. It would open everything up, all the paper trails, everything.
How have they gotten away with this all these years?
Well, what have you done to stop them?
I haven't been able to do anything. I'm just
peon
and flyover country. You know?
Nobody knows about it. This is the best kept secret. You will never see this talked about in the mainstream media. You will never see this talked about anywhere. Walter was on the George Norrie show and talked for about 2 hours. He was supposed to talk for about 3 hours and got cut off. No explanation,
really?
No nothing. He was just gone because he started getting into stuff that he shouldn't, that you're not supposed to talk about on syndicated radio.
Well, the FCC owns, so you know, guess why?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's the problem. You wonder why this doesn't get out in the media? Hey, guess who owns the media? they're Fortune 500 companies. Guess who owns them?
Yeah. Well, it's been an interesting discussion. And
well,
I really enjoyed 20 segments of on YouTube. I saw it on YouTube.
Oh, I'm glad.
I was definitely aware of this long before, you know, ever seeing your videos, but I keep trumpeting, you know, Walter's processes. Like here in Washington State, there's a guy that generates initiatives, tell who laid the chunk, and, you know, each fall we vote on another one and another one and another one, and then every one of them, you know, hits the government, the Washington State government, in the rear end, and yet nothing ever really is come about. They keep adding fees, you know, around by the back door and in the back room and everything, and it just keeps on mushrooming.
Look, well, I'll tell you what. Think of it this way. You've heard the phrase, all the world's a stage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, think of government as a very, very well-orchestrated, entertaining play where we sit in front of our TVs and we watch these guys battle it out. We think that the Democrats hate the Republicans. We think the Republicans hate the Democrats. But really, they go to dinner at night and talk about their families, their best friends, because they're in on the whole thing. There is no opposite side. There is no one party fighting against the other. It's all a charade, okay? So if you think of this whole thing as nothing but a big play where we're watching these people, you know, try to fight for our rights and try to fight for everything that's good and keep America strong and all these little terms that they throw at us, it's all fake, okay? The reality of the situation, believe your eyes, okay? Believe what is written in their own reports. These reports say it all. And once you learn to start reading them and you go through enough of them, you find out that every darn government out there owns more money, has more money hidden in funds than you can possibly imagine. So
this is what's amazing.
The whole idea about the money is to keep us under control. It's to control.
Sure, and they're going to keep taking it from you. And remember, I'm just going to leave. I unfortunately got to leave at this point, but just remember, it's not about the money as much as it is about ownership. Okay, ownership is the key. So, I appreciate you having me on tonight. If you'd like to have me back and talk some more, I'd be honored. I you know,
Yes. Hopefully I'll have a connection that stays connected. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
This is driving me crazy. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad you were able to do it. There was a lot I wanted to talk to you about, but unfortunately Time Warner Cable sucks tonight. So
I'm pretty long-winded,
have to do it
too,
again.
Well,
you did great. Listen, we could do this again. We can. I can't wait to see your part two of Corporation Nation.
Well, that'll be a while. The next one that's going to come out is going to be the vaccine one, so that'll be pretty quick here within the next month, I hope. So,
well, make sure send me a link to it or whatever. Send me a copy of it. I don't know who sent me a copy of your video. It was Woody or Dewey or someone? I thought it was you actually, but. That was great that they sent it to me because I jumped right on it. I watched the whole thing, all 3 hours of it. Anyway, I know you've got to go. You're pressed.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks for having me on here. And like I said, I'll do it again.
Thanks for coming on. Great. We'll
Thank
do
you
that.
Very
I'll
much,
be contacting
Clint.
You.
You got it. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Dave. Thank you so much for having me. You, Dave needs, you know what? Everybody should donate to Dave because... Boy,
the pleasure is mine, my dear.
Oh,
no,
thank you
no.
So
how
much.
How many times did you sit in for me on Monday nights earlier this year?
Oh,
this
is
one minute little tidbit I can do to help you.
But it was in a pinch. I mean, there was no notice.
It doesn't matter. Anytime you need help in a pinch, you know how to get a hold of me. We are a family.
Yes, we are. I love you so much. Thank you so much for that. I'm so grateful that you were, because I didn't want to have to, you know, put it off to another time. We're going to have a call with Gene Keating here pretty soon. I've been talking to him, so we can look forward to that. And, lots of good things happening. Oh, I should tell everyone, they sold my property in Vegas. The trustee sale was on the 30th, and they did sell it. So now I'm going to take steps, but I don't want to talk too much about it online. I want to have a little bit of surprise there. But thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for hanging in. It was a good call. Whenever you want to, Dave, I guess you can end the recording. We can stay on and talk if you like, but and everybody can get unmuted. Thank you, everybody.
Well,
I love you.
Oh, I gotta wait till this thing goes here. Here we go.